And glory to God. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated this morning.
Amen. As you're having a seat, we're going to go ahead and invite our children to be dismissed to children's church this morning. And man, can we just do one more round of applause and say thank you to our Lord for overcoming, right? Jesus overcame. And because he overcame, we can overcome. Let's think about that. What do you need to overcome this week? Right? Maybe there's some bad habits, some bad decisions you have to overcome this week. Maybe there's just some bad self-image that you have to overcome this week. What do you have to overcome? And you might not know. Maybe you could say, Spirit, tell me what I need to overcome. And listen to that voice. And remember, the Spirit doesn't come in with the accuser's voice. As we said, the Spirit comes in, comes alongside us. It's our paraclete, our advocate, somebody who comes alongside. The Spirit of God comes alongside of us and encourages us, corrects us, not out of condemnation, but for salvation, for rescue. What do you need to overcome? That's a good question for us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I love you. I thank you for who you are. God, I pray and I ask that you would just please be with us this morning as we go to your word. Speak to us, Lord, I pray. I ask these things in Christ's mighty resurrected name. Amen. Asher, I'm going to ask you to do this. We're going to throw a curveball a little bit this morning. Go to the on-screen Bible, and I want you to change where we're at. We're not going to be in Acts chapter 11. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to pull up verses 9 through 13. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. All right, here's why we're throwing a curveball this morning. A, my heart was not settled on the message. And B, it seemed to me like the Lord was saying, hey, let's just take something that we can, that will be good for you this week, that you can tangibly hold on to. And so Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, does anybody know what this passage is? Anybody? What'd you say? The
Lord's,
it's the Lord's Prayer.
It's the Lord's Prayer.
Hey, there we go. Matthew 6, 9 through 13 is where we find what we call the Lord's Prayer. And I thought this morning, just as we were singing, as we were doing everything, I thought we just need something that we could maybe this week, maybe it's been a long time since you prayed the Lord's Prayer. And maybe you don't have another prayer to pray right now. And so let's just like walk through it a little bit, unpack it a little bit. Listen to it, let it be with us, and then this week I would encourage you, take it with you every morning you wake up. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Y'all hear me? How I'm quoting it, I quote it in the King's English. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On our screen, we're going to have it in the New Revised Standard Version. But however you remember it, hold on to it. Does that sound like a plan for us this week? Maybe it's not just when you wake up. Maybe throughout your day and you're going, okay, like I need something. You know, let me just share. I've shared this before, but, you know, I grew up in a Baptist tradition. In a Baptist tradition, we were told, you don't pray with vain repetition. And so we were not the people who prayed the Lord's Prayer often. If you grew up in Catholic or maybe Episcopalian or some other tradition, you might have quoted the Lord's Prayer often. But for us, it was like, nope, if you do that, then you're just vainly repeating. And I had to learn, vain repetition isn't about saying the same prayer over and over. Vain repetition is about saying words that are empty. And what I learned is that Jesus gave us this prayer. Right? Think about that. His disciples gather around him, and he was sitting down there on the hill, and he said, listen, here's a prayer that you can pray. Here's a gift for you. You can pray this prayer. And I thought, why did I, for so long, no, I'm not going to take that prayer. I'll pray my own prayer. I'll figure it out myself. I'll do my own thing, right? And some people have taken it, and they've used it as a model, and it can be a good model, like, to build a prayer upon. But I think the prayer itself is a gift from Jesus to us. And sometimes I think this whenever I have nothing else to pray, when I don't know the words to say, I can begin here. I can begin here. I can say, hey, God, I don't know what to say, but your son gave me this prayer. And I trust that your spirit's in this prayer. And so I want us to hold on to this today and this week. Forget that first line. Jesus said, pray then in this way. He had just said, don't be like those braggarts who go out and make a big show about praying. Right? Don't pray so that other people can hear you. Pray that the Father hears you. He also said this. He said, go into your prayer closet. Go privately in prayer. It's not for a show. Right? This is something between you and God. And here's what I would invite you to think about. Where is the place that you can go before the Lord? Some of y'all like to journal your prayers. Some of you like to bow down with your spouse or with somebody else, some trusted friends, and that becomes a good place for you to feel comfortable praying. I was talking to my buddy Lee a couple weeks ago, and I was telling him one of the most free places that I feel like praying is whenever I'm in my car. And I'm like, I had practiced it that morning. I had been listening to a podcast, and it just brought into my heart, my mind, like this idea of worship. And I just stopped it and paused it, and I started saying, God, I just affirm like that you love us, and I'm thankful for that. And I started speaking out loud my prayer. And we were talking about it later. I was like, that's kind of my prayer closet. A lot of times is in my car, and sometimes it is, God, I love you, and I'm so thankful for you. And sometimes it's, God, I am so mad I could spit nails, and this is the only place I can say it, because I'm driving along and maybe people will just think that I'm rocking out to a tune, you know, but I'm letting it go, and the Spirit comes and speaks to me in that place. But Jesus had just said this, and then he said, now here's a way, here's a prayer that I give to you. Pray then in this way. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Y'all should understand, hallowed be your name is the first prayer of this prayer. May your name be set aside. May your name be exalted. May your name be known. God, this is what we need in this world. Before we need anything else, we need your name to be revered, to be set aside, to be known. Y'all see how the prayer starts out with what we really need? Remember what God said in the Ten Commandments? Don't have any other gods before me. Right? Starts out kind of in the same way. God, we need your name to be known and your name alone. That's going to fix this world. Let's just think through that for a second. Some of our prayers are so anxious and filled with fear, and that's good. You should be honest with your prayers, but because we are thinking something else needs to happen rather than his name be known be happen. How many of y'all are so worried about politics or the economy? You're so worried about your jobs. And the first thing that you go to God with is, oh God, I have this problem. And it's like, oh God, the first solve and the first resolve to any of my personal issues or this world's issues is that your name is known. That your name is known, that you are known. Let's think about God's name. It's not just saying, oh, do they know Yahweh? Do they know the name of Jesus? Do they know the character of God? That's what's in a name. It's everything that's built into that. May your character be known. May your name be revered. May your character, which is looks like, I would say, if we're going to say, well, what is God's character? Well, Jesus says, nobody's seen the Father, but I've seen the Father. And if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. So the character of God looks like Jesus. Let that be the character that rules the day, that is known and that is revered, that is honored. He says, the second thing is, the second petition is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now this, I've always said it this way, this presupposes that his kingdom and his will on earth is not happening the way that he wants it to be happening. It can happen, it does happen, but fully it's not happening. And so he says, you pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here's what I think that we should learn through Jesus is we can always pray for even so come Lord Jesus, but Jesus said, I'm giving you my spirit, and whenever I give you my spirit, you are the one who can bring my kingdom to bear on earth as it is in heaven. So if we pray this prayer, it's not just something, God, I need you to do this. Then it becomes something, God, I'm going to walk in your spirit and I'm going to bring your kingdom wherever I'm at, in my home, in my office. And the next one says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us bread enough for the day. Remember whenever they would go get manna out in the wilderness? Did they stockpile manna? Could they stockpile manna? Anybody know this? What happened if they can't, if they got more than they needed for the day? What happened to the manna the next day? It spoiled, it rotted, right? But here's what I think is so cool is every day they got to wake up and they got to find out, hey, God was faithful again. He was faithful again. Whenever I think about this petition of the prayer, I think so many times we forget that God is promised to provide us, to speak to us, to fill us for today. We're not even promised tomorrow. And so many times when we go to the Lord, we're worried about our tomorrows, our years later. And we forget, like, no, this anchors me to remember, hey, God, I don't have tomorrow, I have today. I know I have today. Those kids. I know I have today. And so help me focus on today. Help me be present today. I think about this in a wide variety of ways. Help me to be present with my family today. So many times all of our conflicts can come just because we're not being present with one another. Help me to think about what I need today to walk in the light and to shine the light. Give me today what I need. Now, this is a physical thing, and so I don't want us to ever go, well, he's just talking about spiritual bread. No, he said, give me the food I need today. And we got to think about the culture that they're speaking into. He wasn't speaking to upper middle class folk who could go down to the street to the grocery store and put out some money. He was talking to probably the disparity of wealth in those days was you had the wealthy and you had the poor. And they weren't going down to the grocery store. They might be going to the market where hopefully they caught some fish today. Or hopefully there was a good harvest, right? And so whenever you think about this prayer, it really is dealing with your physical needs. And so we can apply it generally, but let's remember that it has to deal with like our physical reality. And here's the thing that I would say, is God cares about that too. And it's a reminder to us, God's not just there going, hey, I want to make you emotionally strong or spiritually strong. He wants to sustain us physically as well. He wants to give us physical life and vitality. And the next part says, then you ask God to forgive your debts as we also have been forgiven or have forgiven our debtors. The what we know when Jesus comes in at the end of this prayer is that Jesus presupposes that you and I are going to be people of forgiveness. Now, that's where rubber meets the road right there. Are you a person of forgiveness? Are you holding on to grudge? Are you asking God for something for yourself that you will not give to others? To me, that's something that should set us apart as Christians more than anything else. You want to talk about what should set us apart from the world is that we are people of grace and mercy and generous forgiveness. And let's just stop for a second. Is that what our world teaches and preaches? No, if you're on the left, you should hate those folks on the right. Because they don't care about people. And if you're on the right, you should hate those folks on the left because they're woke. And I'm not talking about like just not voting for that person. I'm talking about you have to hate them. You cannot support them. I've looked at our political landscape, and this is, and I think I said this either Tuesday night or maybe even last Sunday, but it was amazing to me. If you are on the left, you cannot say a nice thing about Donald Trump. And if you do, you're off the team. And if you're on the right, you can't say anything to criticize him. Because if you do, you're off the team. And I just feel like that is such a stark reminder of that's the way that the world plays. It's all of us and none of them. And the church has got to be different. The disciples of Jesus have got to live a different life. We have to be the people who say, I'm going to forgive those. I'm going to forgive people who I strongly, ideologically disagree with. I'm going to give mercy, not just to the people who give mercy to me. I'm going to give mercy because God in heaven has given mercy to me. I mean, the foundation of our faith is that you and I are welcomed into the family of God despite anything that you and I have ever done. That's the foundation of our faith. We want God to welcome us, and we have to be the people who are welcoming others and open to forgiving others. So this is a big one, because Jesus comes back and he hits on this one. I think this is where the rubber meets the road for real. Hey, you want my kingdom to come? You want my name to be hallowed? You want to be provided? And it's not like, I'll give you something if you forgive people. I'm saying, like, if you think practically, whenever you are generous with your love and your mercy, what do you find? People are generous back to you. It reciprocates. Oh, that's a word that we've heard recently, right? It reciprocates. You know what reciprocates? Mercy reciprocates. To the next slide, please, Mr. Asher. The next prayer is a prayer that we all want to pray eagerly. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. How many of y'all want to face trials and tribulations, my friends? Right? We know that James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and tribulations because it sharpens you and it strengthens you. We all know that. We all know that you grow through adversity. That is a universal truth, right? The only way that my body's going to grow strong is if I push it to the limits with running and nutrition and exercise and weight training. Like, that's how, like, and none of that stuff is fun. It's terrible. Who wants to do that? Who wants to wake up every day and go push your body to the limit? Anybody? Or does it sound better? I'm going to wake up today, or maybe I'll just stay in bed today. Like, that sounds really good a lot of times, you know? Like, I just want to rest. I just want to hang out. Nobody wants to be brought to the time of trial. Nobody wants to be shown adversity. I promise you, this is a prayer that we eagerly pray. This is a prayer that we eagerly pray. But you and I should know this. You and I should know this. He gives it to us to pray, but you and I know that whenever trials and adversities and hardships come, that's an opportunity for us to grow in our faith, in our wisdom? How many of you know something today because you failed at something earlier? Right? You experienced something and now you have greater understanding about it. How many of you are DIYers and you've done several projects and every time along the way you've gotten better because of the mistakes that you've made? Anybody? I wish I was perfect. I wish I got it right all the time. But this life is set up. This life is set up in such a way that we learn through the times of trial. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. When he says, do not bring us to the time of trial, we know that trials and adversities, they can grow us, they can strengthen us, they can sharpen us, they can build us and equip us, all the things that we could say about that, right? But I think what we need to see here is, I don't want to be tried by the enemy. I don't want to be tried by the enemy. Because the enemy isn't here to correct me, to build me, to equip me, to lift me up. The enemy comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So I don't want to be tried by the enemy. Deliver me from the evil one who wants to destroy me. In fact, Lord, let me face a trial, a testing, as though it were from you, not because God puts his thumbs on us, but because I know that what you want to do is you want to build me up. You want to equip me. You want to strengthen me. You want to correct me. You want to instruct me. You want to make me wise and bright and confident. And then, because of textual variance, and y'all should understand this, there are different manuscripts, ancient manuscripts, and some of them have, at the end of this prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And some of the old manuscripts didn't have that in there. Y'all should know they didn't have printing presses back then. They did not have scanners. They did not have copiers. So what they had was people handwriting. And whenever you see these textual variants, one thing that you should understand is sometimes they look at it and they go, oh, was that actually in the text? Or was that a marginal note that somebody made that made its way into the text? And the fact of the matter is, I think we have them all. And so we should appreciate them all. And I would say include all of it. So let's say this together. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Whose kingdom is this? It's his kingdom. Are we busy building our own kingdom or are we striving for the kingdom of heaven? This week, my hope and my prayer is that we can take this prayer with us. And it can be used for you each and every day to equip you to face the day. Maybe it will comfort you and just be reminded, it's not my kingdom, it's his kingdom. Maybe it will correct you. Oh God, I'm worried so much about what's going to happen with my 401k. And I need to be more worried about your name being made known today. And my life, here's what I'd say. My life is the way that people are going to know your name. How I treat the people around me, my family, my friends, my coworkers, my colleagues, the grocery store attendants, the other drivers on the road is going to let them know who you are. And I'm going to take that seriously. This is a prayer that Jesus gave to us. And the Lord led me today to say, hey, let's be reminded of this prayer. Let's hold on to it. Let's receive it. Not as something that I don't pray that prayer because I don't want to pray vain repetition. But let's receive it as a prayer that was a gift from Jesus. Because this week, you're going to face whatever you're going to face. And you're going to need a prayer to pray. And sometimes you don't have the words to say. Or you don't know where to begin. And I would say, and I would encourage you, let's begin each and every day with our Father, which art in heaven. Amen? Amen. Let's do this. Let's just, Asher, go back. And let's pray this prayer together. This will be how we conclude this message. Does that sound like a plan? All right, y'all, read along with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 Lord, please be with us today.